This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed, and therefore should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discretion, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
You are listening to Let's Get Metaphysical, the podcast that goes beyond the tip of the iceberg to explore the elusive, extraordinary, and mystical phenomena occurring all around us all the time.
In this episode, Ren interviews hypnotherapist Courtney Starkey.
Courtney Starkey has trained with many leaders in the field of hypnosis and utilizes their methods, including Brian Weiss's PLR method, Michael Newton's LBL method, Dolores Cannon's QHHT method, and Carol Bowman's affect bridging, as she supports her clients by guiding them through thoughtfully personalized hypnosis sessions. She uses her gentle and effective nature to guide clients through their sessions as they access their soul wisdom, past life memories, life's purpose, future life progressions, inner abundance, intuitive self-healing, universal wisdom, and much, much more. Courtney's formal education includes an undergraduate degree from the University of Virginia and master's degree in education from Marymount University. She is currently embarking on a PhD program and is looking forward to weaving the program's wisdom into her clients' hypnotherapy sessions, as well as weaving the wisdom of the sessions into her doctoral program studies. As part of her work-life balance, Courtney enjoys spending time in nature and dividing her time between the woods and the streams of her home in Herndon, Virginia, and the jungle and ocean of her heart's home in Kailua, Hawaii. I met Courtney a few months ago when I was led to try hypnosis for the very first time, specifically in Dolores Cannon's Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique Method. So, are you ready? Then let's get meta.
Thank you, Courtney, for joining me. I am really excited about this interview. I have never had the experience of being hypnotized before I met Courtney, and I'm really looking forward to sharing more about what that's like and what that experience has been through your vast knowledge, Courtney. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is a joy.
Yay. Okay, well, I start out every interview with the question, do you have an experience that you have had that you feel was metaphysical in nature that you can share with us this morning?
That's such a wonderful question. And it's one of those questions where I think, where do I start?
Right.
So, I'll probably take it back to a story where I was actually a hypnosis client well before I became a hypnotherapist. And the reason I became a hypnotherapist is because being a client helped me so much. And so when I lived in Hawaii, I was having regular sessions with my hypnotherapist, but I was about to go on a vacation to Taiwan and then to Japan. And I was going to be gone for 2 weeks. And so I asked my spirit guides, what should I be doing during these 2 weeks, this time off from hypnosis? And they told me that I should go to a tea house. That's all they said. It was very specific. Go to a tea house. Now, I should introduce my spirit guides really quickly. At that time, I mean, the crew has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. But at that time, there were three primary spirit guides. The first one that came in was a hawk, a Harris hawk. The second was a crow. And the third was an owl. So as they give me this information, I know, right? They've explained that later. Basically, they can fly, so they can keep up with me. I can keep up with them. It's a really good energy match.
Definitely.
And so they give me this one directive. That's all they've said. They haven't asked much of me at all. This is back in 2013, about 5 years ago. And I'm very, very different now than I was then. But at the time, I went with my husband on this trip. It was a work trip for him. So he was in business meetings during the day. And I was much more dependent in nature at that time, really independent now. But I mention that because while he was in his business meetings, I was just sitting in the hotel. Mm-hmm. The universe, my spirit guides, they didn't tell me to sit in a hotel. They told me to go to a tea house. Now, I've wasted about 2 days at this point. I've done nothing. I'm just waiting for him to get home. Then we go have dinner. Then we go to bed. So I'm not experiencing this trip the way that I'm meant to at this stage. So it's about, I think the second night that we're there, I'm sure the universe is saying like, wow, she really just is not leaving this hotel room and she needs to. By the way, this is a little bit of a scary story, but it will have a very happy ending. And I don't think that all metaphysical things need to be scary. This is actually the only one that ever was, but it was just so impactful that I want to share it. And so it's the middle of the night. I have no idea what time it is. I have my eyes closed and it's in that state of sleep where you are kind of awake, but you're kind of asleep. You're aware of what's going on in the room, but your eyes aren't open. And I feel this really dark, like it's seemingly at the time, very, very negative energy that's on the opposite side of the bed near my husband's head. And I am starting to panic because I sense it very clearly, even though my back is to it and my eyes are closed. I've never had an experience like this. So I'm a real newbie. I'm thinking like, I don't know what to make of this. What do I do? So I just lay there frozen. And then it whips around this dark black energy. I would say it's maybe like 2 feet tall, very pointy. It whips around and then the bed and then into my abdomen and pushes me back by about 6 inches in the bed. And because of the hypnotherapy that I've been experiencing, when you go into hypnosis, part of the induction is to exhale, breathe out, release any stress, any anxiety. And I'm like, right. Oh my God, this is causing me so much stress and anxiety.
Definitely.
So I'm just, and so I'm just exhaling, releasing, letting go, trying to self-soothe really. And I don't know how long I was doing that, but eventually I just exhausted myself and fell asleep. So I wake up the next morning. I don't tell my husband about this at all because what's he going to do about it? I'm like, you know, there was an evil thing and it whipped right. around in my abdomen. You know, what's he going to do? And so wow. I just keep it to myself and we go to breakfast. We come back up to the room. He's taking a shower. I'm sitting in the chair that's furthest from the bed in the room. And I'm just thinking like, I need to get out of here. I am not staying in this room today. I don't know what that was, but I'm not hanging out in this area. And so I walk him down so he can go off to his business meetings and, you know, give him a hug goodbye. And I walk right over to the concierge, the receptionist desk, and I say, is there a tea house? Close by. And they're like, yeah, there's actually a really famous tea house that's just a 5-minute cab ride from here. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And so they give me the address. I get in the cab because I, you know, the last thing I want is to go back up into the room. And I get in the cab and it starts to dawn on me what they've done. They've been very clever. And when I say they, I mean my spirit guides, the universe, whoever's on the team. They've been very clever about getting me out of the room and to the tea house. And as I'm in the cab, I brought a book with me, a pencil and paper. And actually, it was when I took the time to reread Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss, the book that got everything started for me. So I had the opportunity to reread that while visiting the tea house. And then I also wrote a children's book that is my favorite. And I feel like if I'm going to publish one of them, it will be this book. I don't know when I'll publish it, but it's going to be this book. It's a wonderful story about a monster who seems bad, but he's not really bad. Yeah, you can tell where I got the inspiration for that. And yeah. And so I go to the tea house and it's this incredible experience. It feels so good there. The energy is wonderful. I'm finally rereading Many Lives, Many Masters again. I'm working on this beautiful children's book. And so I went there every day and it became one of my favorite places on the planet. And I wouldn't have done that if this seemingly negative thing hadn't occurred in the hotel room that night. Now, this is actually part one of the fun metaphysical nature of this story. The second part is that, you know, things wrap up in Taiwan and then we fly to Japan. And I remember maybe a month or two before this trip, I was having a hypnosis session. We usually would go into past lives. Sometimes we would go into the spirit realm. Without us trying, this session went into a future lifetime. So we tend to talk about past life regression. This would be called a future life progression. So probably the next lifetime. And I'm a little girl in Japan, somewhere between 8 and 10. And I find out that in this upcoming lifetime, I'm a guardian for a region in Asia. The scene that I'm viewing is in Japan, but my responsibilities are larger than just one country, but smaller than the continent of Asia. So a guardian, I think it may have to do with food for that region. Now, this is a lot to process because I'm really early into all of this experience with hypnotherapy and finding out more about my true nature. And it was tough to say the words out loud to my hypnotherapist, oh, I'm going to be a guardian of the right. of part of the planet in the future. I'm like, I sound crazy, but she's really open-minded and loving, and she just went with it.
Sure.
And there was this amazing scene event that played out in a particular park in Japan. And I saw it so clearly, the cityscape, it was very clear. And I wanted to Google image the heck out of this and try to find where is this park in Japan. But then I thought, A, that's going to be really challenging to find it on Google. B, I'll probably ruin my trip if I'm just constantly searching for this place instead of enjoying myself. So I just said to the universe, if you want me to see it, if you want me to find it, experience it, you're just going to have to take me there. So we land in Osaka, and the very first place that we go to is Osaka Castle Park. And oh my gosh, I'm starting to get goosebumps just talking about this part of it. And so the park is fairly large. I walk into, I don't know which direction I'm facing at this point, but I walk into, we'll just say, the first entrance. And as I'm going through the park, I start to see crows. Crows are pretty common, so that's not that big of a deal. But that's my, I call them my number one, two, and three spirit guides. So the hawk is number one, the crow is number two, the owl is number three, just in order of how I met them and how frequently they show up. So I'm like, oh, my number two.
Right.
Guide is here. That's nice. But, you know, no big deal. Crows are around everywhere. So then we get closer and closer and closer to the actual castle. And this is in the middle of the day. And on a sign, there is a real life owl just sitting on the sign. And my husband really likes owls. And so he's taking a picture of the owl while I'm quietly in the background just processing, wow, number two, the crow, and number three. The owl
right
here. That's interesting. And as he's taking this picture of the owl, I turn, and about 30 feet to my left, there's a gentleman with a hawk, and not just a hawk, a Harris hawk sitting on his arm because
they are pets.
Sometimes. I know. And so I walk over and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He's here. Like my number one, he's here. And right. So I just asked the gentleman, I said, can I pet him? And he was very nice. And I got to pet him. A, he's smaller than I thought he would be, which is funny because you hear that about celebrities. I'm like, oh, he's smaller than I thought.
Yeah,
he
right.
would be.
My spirit
so
guide.
Soft.
So
I know. I thought he'd be bigger. He's little and he's really soft. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I'm not saying that bird is my spirit guide. I'm just saying, like, it's not just a hawk, it's even the exact same kind. And I love that the universe, my spirit team, that they gave me this information where they said, we want you to do something. I didn't do it. They, you know, patted me on the rear end and said, no, you need to do it. So they seemingly did something that was negative. I love the moral of that story. It wasn't negative. It was
right.
really purposeful. We can use that in every area of our
Absolutely.
Lives. Yeah. And then the other part of it, which is really helpful for all areas of our lives, is that when I got that information about Japan, I didn't really believe in myself at that point. Oh, I'm going to be a guardian, little old me. That sounds crazy. Then I think they were also reinforcing, you got to believe in the magic of this. You have to believe in the authenticity, the accuracy, like mm-hmm. start believing in yourself. We're showing up here. And what was amazing, as if the three birds wasn't amazing enough, as we were walking out of what I'll call entrance two, it's on the opposite side of the park. We're walking out. I'm kind of looking at the ground as I'm walking because I'm processing all of this. And then eventually I glance up and I see the cityscape. And that was the first moment where I was like, this is the park.
Wow.
Like that was the park that I saw.
Yeah.
So all of this just came together in this beautiful couple of weeks. And for me, I feel like It was so juicy, so active, so profound because I was actively experiencing the hypnosis session. So I was just this wide open channel at that stage, which is really beautiful.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing those.
Sure, of course.
Courtney, I need to ask you, what is hypnotherapy and how does it work?
Love this question because there's so many misconceptions about hypnosis in general. And so I'll start with my experience with hypnotherapy. Really what it is, it's so simple. It's getting into just a relaxed and focused state. So if you think about meditation, and we tend to be really, really familiar with meditation, it's starting off with what's so similar to a guided meditation, where you're just listening to, depending on the practitioner, it might be a gentle voice. It could be a gentle voice with a background of very soothing music. And eventually you just start to get into that calm, relaxed state. When you get into that calm, relaxed state, the chatter in your mind usually starts to quiet down, which allows for that focus and opening up. And if you think about intuition, and we all have intuition in one form or another, we've experienced it. What's happening when we're getting really calm, really quiet, is that we're opening up that intuition that we already had. We're opening up even more so that the communication can start to flow in. And what's really interesting with the hypnotherapy sessions is the communication happens in a wide variety of ways. So it could be through what we're calling past life information or future life information. It could be through going directly up into the spirit realm and connecting with your soul self, with your spirit guides. Healers come in. Let's say that someone has a physical ailment, or it could be emotional. There's a huge team that is supporting us. So when we are accessing this communication, it could be from a variety of sources. And sometimes for those of us who are in the earlier phases of opening up to intuition, sometimes what we're connecting to is our own subconscious wisdom, which isn't too woo-woo. It's not too out there. We understand that we have our own intuition. We have our own subconscious wisdom, and we would like to access that even more. So right. We get to be reminded that we're also a member of our team. We tend to talk about these other guides, but we're a critical, crucial member of our own team. So we get to connect with our own wisdom as well. And so whenever clients come over, they always have higher wisdom questions, something that they want to understand. And when we're doing the hypnotherapy, we're just connecting to that place, that open channel where we can get more answers, more healing, more of whatever it is that will be of benefit to them on that day.
It's a really non-threatening way to describe it too, you know, because I'm not even going to go into it. You know, everyone has their own ideas of what hypnotism is. And like, this is, I remember, you know, my first session with you just felt like a guided meditation, at least going into it. So, and that's really not
right. I understand that with TV and movies, that scripts are far more interesting if mind control is part of
right and getting people to do things.
Portraying.
Yeah.
And then also there's stage hypnosis. And the beauty and the true talent of a stage hypnotist is that they are so good at figuring out the people, the personality types who love to be the center of attention, who are the life of the party. If you pay attention to stage hypnotists, they tend to pull up multiple people, and then they start to focus primarily on one or two of those multiple people, and the others just sort of fade a little bit into the background. So when people get concerned about, oh, are you going to make me cluck like a chicken? I always laugh and say, if you go into a past life as a chicken, then maybe you'll end up clucking like a chicken, but otherwise it's very unlikely.
Right.
So yeah, thank you for mentioning that there are these misconceptions, and it's actually really gentle, very loving process where the client is always in charge. They can even censor what they're saying. So sometimes the spirit guides, the soul self, will share information with them, and the client is just chatting away and narrating the whole thing and saying exactly what's happening, and then they'll get a little quiet. And so I'll ask them, like, is something private coming in? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, just sit quietly with them. You can have your dialogue silently. You'll remember everything that's coming in. And so they can even censor. So they're very much in control the whole time.
That's amazing. How can hypnotherapy be helpful? And for whom can it be helpful? Can it be helpful to everybody? Or is there more of a type of person that it might be more useful to?
Ask me if you want more details, but I'm just going to say a blanket statement about how can it be helpful. I would say in just every area.
Okay.
I know that that's very optimistic, but genuinely, if you think about any area where people would want to tweak or improve or enhance, or, you know, whatever their goal word is, whether it's finances, love, health, wisdom, just being happier, right? And ultimately, that's really what it boils down to. That there is an enhanced happiness that is coming from within And of course, we know that's the most powerful area for it to originate. That happiness is coming from within, and then it starts to affect everything around them so that people are nicer to them. Abundance begins to flow. Their bodies feel better because they're happier. So it really can touch on every area of their life and benefit those areas. Now, of course, it happens in its own time. Some people will have just these instantaneous positive reactions. And then others, you know, it takes a couple of weeks. Sometimes it takes a couple of years, just depending on what their stage is and what they need to experience along the way. But yeah, there's just this overall improvement, feeling better, increased happiness. And then the question about who does this work help?
Right.
I want so badly to say everyone. And right. I do believe that when people make it to a certain stage of their path, that then they go from maybe this isn't the best fit for you, into, okay, yes, now it is a good fit for you. It can help almost everyone. The small group where it isn't the best fit for at this stage, and of course, medicine is always learning, always developing. At this stage, those who are not as in touch with what we would call reality. So if they're having, let's say, schizophrenia, for example, right. I really do not want to sound judgmental in any way. And I don't even know if this is accurate, right? But at this stage, medicine is saying, if you have schizophrenia, then hypnosis is not going to be a good fit for you because you're already connected to so many things that hypnosis right. might be too much, right? It's right. like taking a cup that's already overflowing and then adding another ocean right. on top of a cup that's already overflowing. So that would be an example. And then let's go with, you know, just your everyday person. I hadn't noticed this pattern, but then when I was doing my studying for my master hypnotherapist certification, so succinctly in this one book, they mentioned that all of these hypnotherapists, and we're talking about MDs, PhDs, you know, very respectable people who notice patterns. That's what they do. They all realized that the personality type that is most challenging to reach, the personality type that does not take responsibility for how things are going for them.
Ah.
So if they, yeah. As soon as I read that, I thought, oh my gosh.
Interesting.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. So if someone tends to express external blame, you know, my parents did this, my husband's doing that, my boss is causing this issue, that right. tends to be a harder person to reach, because hypnotherapy, the beauty of it is that you're really doing work on you. Right. They're your guides, right? It's your soul self. It's your path. So if you are giving all of your power away to these external people or situations, and not really claiming that you are in charge, you are responsible, which is beautiful. That's a beautiful place to be. If you're responsible for it being bad, then you're responsible for it becoming good. They tend to not have as much of a benefit, because let's say, for example, that at this stage in their path, they're getting some sort of comfort or benefit, whatever it is, from being a victim.
Right.
So if they come for help and the help doesn't flow in, then it just adds to that storyline of, I've been abandoned by my spirit guide.
Right, I've been abandoned by God, or source. Yeah,
exactly. A dog was barking outside of the office, so that dog created this distraction, and now, right. you know, the storylines are amazing. Yeah, and I'm really lucky that that is so, so rare, and I'm so happy about it, because it really is heartbreaking. When you know that that connection is there, you know their guides are always with them, you know their soul self is always with them. And so it's heartbreaking, and you want to help everybody. But right. in those situations, that's a bit challenging. And so we, you know, timing is everything. I recently was working with one of those rare clients that was in that situation. By the way, these are all really lovely people, really right. lovely. It's just that they don't understand that the issue isn't with the boss. The right. issue isn't with the brother. It really all stems from ourselves. So these are right. awesome people that just are, you know, kind of cranky about others.
Right.
So I was working with someone recently, and it was that rare, sad situation where she was feeling very abandoned by the spirit guides. I did something that I've never actually done before. And I said, let me talk to them. Right. Because I know that I'm open. And if they're willing to talk, then maybe they'll talk to me.
Right.
And so I asked, and they were like, she just needs to start small with her communication with us. So at some point along the way, she was hurt. She blamed them. Right. So that external blame. She blamed them. She built up a wall, as we would with any relationship. You hurt me, I'm building up a wall. Well, that wall slowly becomes a barrier to our communication with those that can help us. And so I said to them, I was like, if you want to communicate with her, why aren't you doing it in the session? Like, she wants it so badly. Why aren't you doing this right now? And they said, this is too big. Like, she needs to start smaller. Something like if she's opening up a jar in her kitchen, there's no emotional investment in that jar and it's stuck. She can say, please help me. And they will allow that jar to be open. So no emotional investment, right? It's an easy choice. And so just start really, really small, start to regain that trust that she needs to have with them. And then the communication will open up. So there, it's a really easy fix for those who might be in that spot where they want to communicate, but it just isn't happening. Just start really small. When you go to Bed Bath & Beyond and you're trying to figure out, do I want gray towels or navy blue towels? No emotional investment, just ask your spirit guide and they'll answer, right? Because it's easy. Right. And then you can start to build it up that way.
Right. And the thing I want to add to that is, and I was just talking to a client yesterday about this, is similarly wants to be closer with their spirit guides, saying, first of all, start asking, you know, ask for help. Mm-hmm. And then the second, almost more important part is listen. You know, like, you don't just ask and then like expect to see a burning bush. Listen and see what you hear and what you feel and what you sense and what you experience, or like what song comes on the radio next, or what bus drives by with the advertisement that has the words that you need to read on it.
Right.
So like paying
exactly.
attention. You don't just do the first part, you have to do the second part too.
Yes, pay attention and don't discount it, because that happens sometimes where it's like, oh, well, maybe that was a coincidence. No, they're trying to talk to you.
Right. No, it's not just a coincidence. There's no such thing. Thank you for that. There's
a lot
there too. I mean, you touched on things that, like, one, at the very beginning, you said these were my spirit guides that were showing up right away, but there's been more added on since then. And I think we're just touched on, because I remember when I was getting into this part of my life and this one showed up and then this one showed up and I was like, okay, great. These are my spirit guides, you know? And now it's like, I can't even count how many my mentor calls them higher power super friends. So I can't even count how many higher power super friends are in my phalange, as the folks at John of God and the Casa would call it, the phalange. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that. Another thing I wanted to pull out and point out for folks is we could have seemingly negative metaphysical experiences. And I don't want to say that everything actually isn't negative, because everyone has different experiences, but pulling that in and seeing the significance of that experience for you, and at least you saw the significance of the experience of that experience for you and how it turned and led you into something that you needed to experience. So there's so many aspects of that story that I really love. And the other thing that struck me, I have only really talked about or experienced or read about hypnotism and hypnotherapy in the sense that you either go back or that you're accessing a current, like, present part of you. I don't think I've heard you mention, or like even Dolores Cannon, where I've been getting, you know, my hypnotherapy experience level of knowledge from. What did you call it?
Oh, a future life progression.
Future life progression. That's a whole nother aspect that is incredible. And I don't know much about. So thank you for bringing all those aspects into your stories, your metaphysical experience.
Of course.
That's really...
Would you like for me to take the past, the present, and the future to another brain bending level?
Sure. Go
all right.
For it.
I know. Like I said, I'm 5 years into this. I'm always learning, always learning, always learning. I'm really lucky, because as I learn and grow, the universe will then bring me a client who is just right there with me. So I advance, the clients advance. I advance, the clients advance. And so every time I work with a client, I am learning something new. And what's been that coming in just in the last few weeks, couple of months, this is all very recent, is that the whole quantum physics theory that everything is happening now, and the clients who are tuning into, I call them their soul selves. There are different names that different practitioners use. But when I say their soul selves, I mean their soul, their higher selves, their super conscious. There are all of these different names for it. But the soul self will borrow their vocal cords, the client's vocal cords, and will actually share their universal wisdom and knowledge with us. And as I've been working with more people, I've been learning. The universe is saying, okay, Courtney is ready to ask the right questions here. These new clients have been coming in. They're sharing that really everything is happening right now. So when mm-hmm. we are tapping into another lifetime in quotes, it's really something that's already currently happening. Because we know about history, and as humans on this earth, we have time. We think about things in a chronological order. It might appear to be 1812, and we would call that the past, but that's actually happening right now. So what I was seeing that felt like it may have been about 100 years into the future in Japan, that's actually happening right now. So I was just allowed to open up the curtain, the veil, and see into another part of what my soul is currently experiencing. So
right.
I had someone, yeah, it's amazing. I had someone comment and they said, well, it's not really a past life regression or a future life progression. It's more like a current life.
Like a parallel life. Yeah.
Yeah, parallel life, concurrent life, peaking.
Peaking. Yeah, concurrent life
with
peaking.
Other parts of ourselves. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. You know, I was actually thinking that as you were telling the story too, like when you were in the park, because, you know, I've read enough Dolores Cannon and other folks. It's not just her. That was my gateway into hypnotherapy, right? But that time is actually happening all at the same time. So even when you were telling that story, I was like, wow, that little girl is there right now, right?
Yes.
Like that's what's going on. And you actually are a guardian of that region right now as well. It's all now.
Right. So, which is wonderful, because then it helps us to really own who we really are, what we really are. And so little old me in, let's say, July of 2013 is also guardian,
exactly.
Very helpful, very serving me in whatever I'm perceiving is about 100 years into the future. So that gives little old me so much confidence, right? And then you start to really understand that you're okay. You're better than okay. And life gets really, really wonderful as you're tapping into these other parts of yourself.
We're talking about parallel lives, and like you are the little Japanese girl right now who is a guardian of that region in Japan. And then it's like, well, is that the only other parallel life? And then it's kind of, you know, it brings up this, you keep going and you keep going until you realize that you are everybody else.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
And that we are all connected in a way that our human brains can't even fathom. And it's like stepping stones, like, oh, well, if this can be my parallel life and this is happening in this part of the world, well, is that the only one? Well, probably not. So there's probably another maybe parallel or concurrent life that you could peek into if you needed to, especially if they're past lives, but if they're past lives that are happening now, because everything is happening at the same time. And then it just kind of keeps expanding from there. You know?
It's beautiful. I love that you're bringing this up. And the universe knows exactly what it's doing. And so you're bringing this up on a day that is within, I would say, a 7-day period, maybe a 5-day period, where all of this information about souls, concurrent lifetimes has been coming in. Have you heard of the concept of twin flames? Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah, I do. I would love to talk about twin flames.
Okay, yeah. So it's getting really interesting really quickly in this area. Now, I don't know that people who are experts in the field of twin flames, and just for those who are listening, and please add to this, because I actually don't know that much about it, but essentially it's one soul who has decided to incarnate on Earth as two different people. The connotation that I'm most familiar with regarding twin flames is that it tends to be romantic in nature, and it also tends to be very rocky in nature. So there's this intense connection, and whoa, I mean, there are fireworks in every possible way, including sometimes burning down the house from the fire.
Right.
So there's a lot going on there, a lot of emotional connection to that phrase. So I don't know that an expert would call what I'm about to describe a twin flame, or if it's something similar but slightly different. And what's been coming in recently from clients having their own sessions, and they haven't seen the live session that I'm about to tell you about. And it also just happened in a live session that I was hosting just a few days ago. So my Facebook group, one of them, is called Spiritual Hypnosis Live. And what I do is every month I will take a client who has agreed to come back and have a session that is very public. So you know how Facebook Live, you can turn on a recording and everyone can watch and they can participate because they can type in their questions. So I will have a client who their soul self is very comfortable with speaking in public. So I've asked the soul self for permission before we do this. And so recently, my Spiritual Hypnosis Live guest is a wonderful, I would call him a friend. At this point, we've known each other for 3 years, started off as more of a, we were in the same book club and a client relationship. Now it's like, okay, friend. And he did me the favor of coming over. We went into hypnosis. We knew that we were in the same soul group. We learned that a few sessions in that we're in the same soul group, which is very interesting for a hypnotherapist and their client to be in the same soul group. Mm. That's not that common. So we're asking about all of these questions related to souls. And then eventually his soul self revealed that he and I are the same soul that have come into this experience at the same time. But he and I, it's not a romantic relationship, and it's really easy. Like, it's not rocky at all. It's very loving and gentle, and we have the best conversations, and it's just easy. And so, yeah, now we're learning about, okay, so we have a soul who decided to come into two different people. It's not romantic. It is very easy. So what is this phase of souls doing that? Yeah. And then similarly, I've got clients now who are having the same experience where they're going into, we'll call it past lives, just for ease of communication. And they find out, oh, I was the parent and I was the child, or, oh, I was this best friend with, and so more of the same, where it's not romantic and it's not rocky. It's very easy, very loving. And so I was asking one of the soul selves, hey, what's going on here? Why are we finding out more about these types of soul splitting so that they know each other, they love each other? And the soul self said, oh, well, this is just us starting the phase of humans beginning to realize their loving connections to each other. And so you just touched on that. Yeah. Right? So it's the beginning of us understanding our loving connections to each other. So if I know that my friend's name is Kevin, if I know that I share a soul with Kevin, I then actually start to, even though I already enjoyed his company and loved him very much, I start to look at him differently, where it's like, oh, we're the same. And then, as you mentioned, let's expand on that. Yeah. And then eventually, good job, universe, they're just slowly easing us into the point of, we've told you before, you're all one. We told you before to love each other. Okay, fine. You need something more concrete.
Yeah. You are each
you
other.
Really are the same. Yeah, you really are.
You are the same. You are the same. Oh my gosh. I've been getting this a lot too, Courtney, like through insights that I've gotten the last couple of months too. I don't have problems with people very often, but like, something will come up and I'll be like, oh, this person, and having judgment, right? And then I'll be like,
right.
And then like source comes in and it reminds me, is like, oh, well, what they did is actually not that bad.
Right.
Actually, I'm grateful for them. And then actually I am then. So.
Like, right. I know. Thank
like,
you.
I am
love that,
that person.
It's also coming into your consciousness too. I think they're doing this on purpose, where they're
you
guys are really ready. You're ready to not just intellectually understand, but to emotionally, from your heart, really start to understand.
Yeah. And the way it's coming in for me also is just like the concept of mirroring, and how like everybody that I'm interacting with, whether it's my partner and whether it's people I'm interviewing and whether it's, you know, my clients or my friends, they're holding up mirrors to me with their own stuff and their own words and their own actions that actually reflects back on me. And I'm like, even if something is bothering me and somebody else, and that's where it's been coming up more strongly than typical, I'd say, for the past couple of weeks, right? As I'm seeing like, oh, I'm so like annoyed by this. And then it's like, ding, you're actually annoyed at this thing in yourself. That's why you're right. annoyed at it. So you are that person and you are that quality. This is you. So love it. And
good for you. Yes. Yes. It is you. Love it. Be kind to it. And if we think about all of these situations, like if we were dealing with a child that we loved, we don't right. expect the child to be perfect. And we would just gently say, hey, this is another way to approach it. And then they're going to learn so much more quickly if we lovingly, gently say, hey, let's look at it this way rather than you're bad. Stop doing that. I don't like that. So doing right. that with ourselves is so healing as well. I love that you're doing that. Where you're like, oh, this has to do with me. Right.
I mean, on a loving adjustment. Day, I'm doing that, right.
right. Like, I know.
I'm getting
know.
It more often.
We're all
than
on the
now.
Path.
It's great.
I'm right there with you.
You went into this for a moment, and if you could just elaborate just a little bit, what was your introduction to hypnotherapy? And I know you to be somebody who studied, there's not just one, just for listeners, there's not just one way to hypnotize or to use hypnotherapy. There's different right. styles, just like there's different styles of yoga and different styles of energy. And I know you to be somebody who has studied a few of those ways of hypnotherapy. So just briefly, like, what was your introduction to this, to hypnotherapy, and how are you working with it now?
So my introduction, dear old Oprah. I love Oprah. She introduced us.
Okay, everyone.
So many things.
We have now brought Oprah into the podcast. It has happened.
She's here. Yeah. So I think, I don't know if it's still going on, but I think it was called, it was something like Super Soul Radio, but there was this radio interviewing, so similar to what we're doing right now. And this wonderful lady was interviewing Dr. Brian Weiss. And he's talking about past lives and how if we have any issues going on in our current life and we can't quite pinpoint what the origin or the root of that issue is, that it very well could stem back to a past life. And I'm listening. And I'm very, very lucky in that from the first time that I heard about reincarnation, I believed in it. So I didn't grow up where people were saying, or I didn't grow up where people were even talking about it. So there was no one to say this isn't real. And I just happened to see a news story where a lady went into a past life. She ended up finding a marketplace, or in the past life, she was in a marketplace that was in a location. And I want to say maybe near the Middle East. I saw this when I was like 19. So this is a long time ago when I saw this, maybe near the Middle East. And because the universe is very cool, they gave her a location that had not changed very much over the last couple of centuries. So she was able to hop on a plane. She was drawing what she saw as she was flying to this location. And when she got there, she could confirm, like, this is the marketplace. She had drawn it out. And so this is my first exposure to reincarnation. And I'm thinking, hey, okay, this is real. So luckily, I didn't have any doubt that I needed to work through. So Dr. Weiss, he's being interviewed. He's talking about reincarnation, past lives, how it's really healing. And I was at the beginning of my healing path at that point. I was maybe 2 years into it. And so I was learning about The Secret, Law of Attraction, Buddhism. And so I was really in that stage where I was ready to take the next step and learn even more. So I ended up getting the book, Many Lives, Many Masters, right around the exact same time that the universe sent my husband and I to Hawaii for 2 years. I know. Thanks, universe. That one was probably the best gift yet.
Right.
And so when my husband got the job opportunity in Hawaii, that allowed me to release my full-time job. So I suddenly had all of this extra time, and I had this new book, Many Lives, Many Masters. So I'm reading through it. I'm normally a very methodical, slow, thorough reader where, you know, I can take 10 minutes to read one paragraph, that kind of thing.
Right.
I went through that entire book in a day and a half, and I was just like, I've got the answers to so many things.
Right. Like, yep. Oh, I know what that feels like. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so I was very lucky throughout this entire journey where that book just fell into my lap. Then about a year later, and getting this deep understanding from the content, about a year later, I mentioned him to a meditation group. There was a girl there. She said, oh, so you must know he's coming to Honolulu in the spring. I did not know that he was coming. So I booked that ticket right away. And then I ended up, you know, talk about following intuition. I just decided to sit where I was guided to sit. Dr. Weiss introduced this lovely hypnotherapist who had trained with him the year before. She was sitting right behind me, of course, room of 500 people. She's right behind me. So I was able to get her business card shortly after during the break. And she and I started having weekly hypnosis sessions. So I went to see her, and it was, what's funny about the very first session is that it was pretty mundane. Yes, I went into a past life, which is pretty spectacular, but it wasn't that interesting.
Right.
It was one of those Dolores Cannons. I think Dolores Cannon, she calls that, I believe, the peeling potatoes lifetime, right, where you're just not really doing much.
Peeling potatoes, just whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really ho-hum.
Right.
Yeah. And so I didn't really overtly, in an obvious way, find out about any of my issues, but I knew that I felt better. Like something happened, something shifted, and I felt better and thought, I don't know why I want to do this again, but I definitely feel better and I definitely want to do this again.
Right.
So I went back the next week, and the universe was basically like, all right, it's on. And they took me into a very emotional, very powerful lifetime where, you know, I'm like ugly crying in front of
my
therapist. And but I love it when my clients cry because I understand how healing it is. I want to high five them while they're in the middle of it.
Totally.
And so, yeah. And then by the fourth session, I was connecting to aliens, and I'm like, wow, they really cranked this up very quickly for me. So it went from mundane to very emotional and powerful to really expanding what I thought that we could be connected to, and then going into the spirit realm quite regularly. And Jamie, my hypnotherapist, she's a lot like me, where she understands that just going with the flow and pushing boundaries and just, you know, continuing to investigate more and more. We're a really good team like that. So we were able to connect to things that go well beyond that initial training that she had with Dr. Brian Weiss. And then that was also my initial training with him. And so we were going well beyond the formula of that training. You know what I think about him too? I think he knows way more than he lets on, but I think he also kind of enjoys being as normal as possible. So I'm looking forward to when he releases another book. I think that it's time, and he's going to let us know. He's fully aware of all the weirdness, good weirdness that's out there. So that takes me into Dolores Cannon, Dr. Michael Newton. They are totally open about all of the unusual things that are out there. When I say weird, for me, it's a term of endearment. I love it. It keeps things interesting. Yeah. And so then training in those styles, what's great about the different hypnotherapy styles is that they all really complement each other. Mm-hmm. So it's that same method of getting into a really beautiful, relaxed place, getting focused, allowing that intuition to open up. And so sometimes somebody comes, they love Dr. Brian Weiss, but they end up having a session that's actually far more similar to Cannon or Newton, because the universe says, like, you know, past lives are great, but we want them to actually connect to their soul self now. And so we have a conversation where the soul self borrows their vocal cords, which is much more like Cannon and Newton. So they really, all those styles really support each other beautifully.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense too. There's different people who have founded kind of different techniques, and they might have different focuses. And you mentioned some names there. And for folks listening who are interested in this, Brian Weiss, Dolores Cannon, and you said Dr. Newton.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Michael Newton.
Mm-hmm. Michael Newton, right, are good places to start if you're interested in exploring this topic more. How are you working with hypnotherapy now? I know you see clients and you've done some live Facebook sessions. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about how your practice looks right now?
Oh, certainly. And it's always evolving. So I'm wondering if next week there will be an additional answer as part of this. So I started off, so the hypnotherapy journey, it's always growing. It's always expanding. So as I mentioned earlier, I started off as a hypnosis client. It helped me so much that I knew that I had to learn how to do this to help others. So the first phase of my journey after, and you know what, I always say I was a hypnosis client. False. I am right. Currently.
Right. No, I understand that.
I'm always learning more. So that's always going on. Every time I go back to Hawaii, I always work with Jamie. I continue to go to group events. I've got a practitioner here in Northern Virginia. So always learning, always growing. And then in terms of the practice, as a hypnotherapist, always learning, always growing. And I work with clients one-on-one. That is absolutely my favorite because, of course, it's such a personalized session where the client can say, okay, these are the, you know, the four things or the 40 things, depending right. on depending on the situation that I would really like to address. And so we're able to customize that experience for them. And then also being able to talk directly to the wisdom of the universe, the soul self, the spirit guides. One time the person, their vocal cords were borrowed by the sun. So, you know, having wow. these amazing conversations. Yeah, they're really, it's very, very limitless. So of course there are the one-on-one sessions. I'm finding that, and this is such a happy, joyous problem, in quotes, I'm finding that I'm getting so booked that,
right.
that I want to offer additional things for people who are waiting to have their sessions. So right. I recently launched some online hypnotherapy classes where, let's say, a person wants to work on weight release or increasing abundance, or they'd like to go into my class. It's a loving past life, because if I'm not sitting there next to them helping to guide them, I want them to be guided towards a loving, happy, gentle
right, past definitely.
Life. Like, you can do that on your couch by yourself, no problem. That's fine.
Right.
So yeah, so I've created these different courses that will help people as they're waiting to have their sessions, also to supplement their sessions. So I've got clients that will work with me repeatedly, but they might have 3 or 4 months in between their sessions. And so that's a perfect opportunity for them to access these online classes where they might have a certain thing that they want to work on in the meantime. And it really supplements what they've already been learning through their one-on-one sessions. Oh, and I should say, one of the classes, most of those online classes are purchasable, but one of them, and I love it so much, is absolutely just my gift to those who want to try it. So I feel like before someone commits to purchasing an online class, they can take one that is a gift for them, and then they can see, oh, you know, do I like the energy of this? Do I like the format of this? And that one is called From Confusion to Confidence in 3 Loving Steps. And it's such a nice umbrella, very large umbrella, where we could be confused about any number of things and then move toward understanding and confidence about whatever the answer may be for that issue or whatever shift we need to make regarding that issue. So that's something people can start out with. And I mentioned that because it's free, that I also on my website have a free guided hypnosis relaxation exercise. Same thing, where it stays really open, really general. So whatever it is that you would like to address on that day can be addressed very easily with that guided recording. So those are the, yeah, so that's what I make available, where people might want to actually experience hypnosis. So whether it's a one-on-one session or the online class or the guided audio recording, that's for the person who's at the stage where they're ready. They want to experience it firsthand. But then there are also my favorite page that I make available on Facebook. I mentioned it earlier, it's called Spiritual Hypnosis Live. So a lot of people in various stages of the path, many of them have already had sessions, but they want to learn more, right? We're all here to learn. They want to learn more. During those live sessions, like I said earlier, the client is inviting their soul self to borrow their vocal cords. So we're connecting with deep, deep universal wisdom. And I will always announce ahead of time who's coming, what the theme is, and people will ask questions ahead of time that I can then ask of the client. So whether someone's curious about twin flames or the new earth that there's all this buzz about right now,
Right, definitely.
You can ask those questions. Yeah. And so I love so much the Facebook Live feature where people can ask questions live. So recently when I was working with my friend Kevin, his soul self name is Jurgen. I this was the fourth one and they've all been really well received, but there was extra energy around this one where people were just rapid fire typing all of these questions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you really can ask live what a deep question that you've been wondering about, and for whatever reason you haven't quite gotten the answer yet yourself, or maybe you have gotten the answer but you're looking for a second opinion.
Right.
So then you can participate in this really beautiful way, and all of the soul selves, they're so loving. They really have our best interests at heart, so they always try very much to help everyone who's listening. And I should say that all of those sessions, like I said, there have been four so far, they're all recorded. So let's say that someone is hearing me talk about that session with Kevin and they're like, rats, I can't believe I missed it. You didn't miss it.
Right.
It's recorded. You can watch it. And I'm going to have him back. And so any questions that maybe you have, you can always just submit the questions. And then I'm going to have him back in September. So then we can address the new questions that are coming in. But yeah, like I said, who knows what other offerings may be coming up. I love that you're going to be sharing my website. So if something new develops between now and then
definitely,
the website will have all the fresh options that are available.
Great. And yeah, just, and we will have this on our website at letsgetmeta.com as well. But will you say your website and just one more time the name of your Facebook group so folks know where they can learn more about you?
Oh, certainly. So my Facebook page is Spiritual Hypnosis Live. And then my website is Pay It Forward Hypnosis. My YouTube channel is Metaphysical Matters. But there's a little wordplay in there where I spell meta, M-E, capital T, capital E, capital A. So T, the wonderful drink. So it looks like me, T, physical matters, but it's metaphysical matters with an emphasis on the T. And so every week I will share a video about, gosh, it's a wide range of topics. Sometimes I share something amazing that has happened in a client session that week. Sometimes I'm sharing more information about the online hypnosis classes. Sometimes I just have something really interesting of a metaphysical nature that happened to me personally. And so then I'll share about that. So the content is very wide ranging, very, very spiritual, loving, open-minded, next level in nature. So yes, there is also a YouTube channel that has a very familiar word in there. Let's Get Meta. I love the name of your podcast.
Yeah. Excellent. Yep. Well, thank you so much, Courtney. I am so pleased that I got to chat with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was such a joy talking with Courtney, and I learned so much through my own hypnotherapy session with her. If you want to hear more about my experience in that session, consider becoming a patron on Let's Get Meta's Patreon at www.patreon.com/letsgetmeta.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information about Courtney, visit payitforwardhypnosis.com. If you're enjoying Let's Get Metaphysical and want to help us keep making new episodes, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. This show is entirely listener supported, and we appreciate all the help from our patrons so far as we continue to make our first season of shows. Let's Get Meta is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. Audio editing and production by Zoe Ravenwood of Hatfish Digital Media. The voice of the credits is me, Aries. Thanks so much for listening.